dragging the sacrifice to the altar. Not sure where he's going though. First Peter chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. I'm going to bring you a message on having a mind to suffer. Having a mind to suffer. And we take it from verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the message. I pray that you would bless it. I pray that you would impart life to it and breathe upon it. Speak to our hearts from it. May the Word of God be magnified and may the name of Jesus Christ be exalted. I pray, dear Lord, that He would have the preeminence in our, in not only this message, Lord, but in our hearts and minds. I pray, dear God, that You would mold us and make us into that which You would have us to be and conform us to the image of Your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that You would have Your will and Your way in the next few minutes. I pray that You would have liberty to speak to us as only You can. I pray, dear Lord, that You would take the words of God and reprove and rebuke and exhort and edify the believers that are here this morning, Lord. And I pray that You would use this message not only here this morning, but also on CDs, DVDs, recorded materials, whether it be on the internet or whether it be a disc or something. I pray, dear God, that wherever the sound of my words falls, dear God, I pray that You would bless it and accompany it with Your Holy Spirit, God, because without You, we can do nothing. Without Your Holy Spirit, Lord, this is just an exercise in vanity. And so I pray that You would use me as Your vessel, Lord. And I pray that if anything inside of me and or these people would hinder Your message, I pray, dear Lord, that You would rebuke it and wash us in the blood of Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Having a mind to suffer. The teaching of the Scripture is quite plain. God has no desire to see His people suffer. We're not charismatics. We don't believe in health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. But we don't swing the other way either. We're not Roman Catholic monks and believe that through whipping ourselves or flagellating our bodies or abusing ourselves that we somehow merit God's grace. The teaching of the Scripture is quite plain, and that is that God has no desire to see His people suffer. The idea that we must always suffer and not enjoy any kind of blessing is wrong. Well, the Bible definitely shows us that it isn't God's desire to have His children suffer needlessly. In Psalm 34, verse 8 through 10, He says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God's desire that we be blessed. It's God's desire that we enjoy the good things that He's given us. There's nothing wrong with that. In Psalm 23, verse 1, He says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does He mean by that? Since He has the Lord as His shepherd, He has a lack for nothing. He doesn't want anything else. He has no need of anything else. In Psalm 84, verse 11, it says, For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. God is interested in blessing you. And God is interested and pleased when He has opportunity to bless His children, to comfort His children, to prosper His children. God is not interested in us being poor and dumb and ignorant and suffering. And to think that that's what God desires for us is to have a wrong picture of God. Like I said, I don't believe in this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. I don't think that if you're a Christian, automatically it means you're going to be rich. Automatically it means you're going to be healthy. Automatically it means you're going to be wise. But God doesn't want us to be poor, dumb, and sick either. Amen? I mean, He says, for this cause, what cause? Because they hadn't confessed their sins and because they were taking the Lord's Supper in the wrong way, He said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. That's not God's will. God's will is that we live. God's will is that He bless us. God's will is that we enjoy or be able to enjoy His blessings. It is not God's will that we suffer all the time. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, and I hate to have to say that, but you got to say that. Especially around Bible believers, because I'm one of them. And I know how you think. I know how you think. I'm one of you. And that stuff goes through my mind on a consistent, constant basis. Oh, man. Things are going too well. Looking for the axe to fall. There's a devil behind a bush here somewhere. There's sin in a camp somewhere. Things are going too well. What's wrong, Lord? Nothing wrong, man. I would make a better Catholic than many Catholics would make. When I was a little kid, if I would think something wrong, I would put myself in the corner, man. I was mental like that. My mom would say, ask my dad, you put Adam in the corner? No. Did you? No. What's he doing in the corner? I did something I didn't think I should have done. I just skipped the middleman, amen, went straight to the corner. I mean, there were times where I was trying to break my arm on a sink. I would bite myself. I was probably possessed to a degree. I would have made a great Catholic, whipping myself and all this guilt. It is not God's will. It is not God's purpose. It is not God's desire to see His children suffer. He's not some kind of a taskmaster. It's the devil's desire to see you suffer. Say, I don't believe I'm hearing this. Look at the book of Job, man. Job was one of the richest men in all of the East. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He did right. And God blessed him richly for it. And you know who took it away? Oh, yeah, the Lord did, but He used the devil to do it. If the devil had not brought up, hey, the reason why he loves you and serves you is because you blessed him and put a hedge about him, take away everything he has, and he'll curse you to your face, God would have just kept on blessing Job and pouring it out on him. You know why? Because God delights in blessing His people. That's not a strange new doctrine, amen? What's a strange new doctrine is the idea that God would have us suffer all the time. We're not Roman Catholics. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. God doesn't tell rich people, get rid of your money! I want you poor, don't you? Didn't you read that? No, He says, just tell them, hey, God gave you that thing richly to enjoy. You make sure you're a blessing to Him, a blessing to others. You communicate. You don't be high-minded. But He doesn't tell them, get rid of your money. Why? Because it is God's will that you be blessed. It is God's will that you prosper. It is God's will that you enjoy the things that He gives you. And why would you give them to Him? I mean, what would you think if Christmas came around, you showered your children with gifts and they just sit there and start crying? What's the matter with you? Aren't you happy? Look what I gave you. You know why you gave it to them? Because you want them to be thrilled. You want them to enjoy those things. Amen? If you didn't, you would have just gave them socks and underwear. The reason why God gives you the things that He gives you is He wants you to enjoy them. Amen? He's not interested in you being, woe is me and, bless the Lord on my soul and forget not all of His benefits. And, that's not what God's all about. Now I'm going to have a mark on my forehead. It's going to go great on the DVD, a big red spot in the middle. I look like a Hindu. But from Genesis onward, all the way through the Bible details how God takes care of His people, how He minimizes their problems, how He relieves their sufferings so as to separate them from heathen countries. You take when Israel was in Egypt, they dwelt in the land of Goshen in Egypt. And when God was calling down those plagues on Egypt, you know what? Those people in Goshen didn't have a fly, didn't have a frog, didn't have any problems. Exodus 8, verse 2 says, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Exodus 9, 26, only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. God makes a difference, a separation between the lost and the saved, and that He protects the saved. He blesses the saved. He helps the saved through our troubles. Amen? I don't have a God that's out to knock me on the top of the head every chance He gets. Yes, He chastens. Yes, He tests. But it's for our good. But you know what? His chastening and His testing isn't every day. And it's not all day long. Sometimes God just wants to enjoy your fellowship. Sometimes God wants you to enjoy Him. Sometimes God wants to just bless you in spite of you. Amen? As believers, we must be careful not to bring an anti-scriptural monastic philosophy into our walk with the Lord. We must be on our guard not to be corrupted by such thinking that God would have us suffer needlessly all the time. On the other hand, this is not to suggest that God will not test or chasten His children. Yet we need to distinguish this from the above-mentioned concept that we should always be suffering. In ordinary times, God usually dispenses grace and takes care of and supports and supplies the needs of His children. And in times of necessity, He tests and chastens His own. The Bible says you have need of patience. You know how you learn that? Tribulation worketh patience. So sometimes God will send you trouble. Sometimes God will chasten you. Sometimes God will test you. But those things aren't meant to be an end in themselves. It's not God's desire just to have you suffer so He can sit back and watch you sweat. It's not God's will at all. Yet even here, God does not try His children every day, every moment. God only chastens when we have need, not all the time. You don't beat your kids from morning to night. If you do, you've got a problem, not them. What then is the meaning of suffering for the saints, which we find in the Bible? Some suffering is our own fault. You know, we bring it upon ourselves. Some suffering is the result of the curse of sin in the world. Some sufferings is the effect of God's chastening hand. But you know what? That's not what this sermon's about. I'm not preaching about the suffering that we cause ourselves or the suffering that we experience as an effect of being in the world that's cursed by sin. I'm not talking about the suffering that we go through as God's children being chastened or tried. I'm not talking about that kind of suffering. The suffering I'm talking about is in 1 Peter 4, verse 1, it says, "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." This is a suffering that is deliberately chosen before the Lord. This is a suffering that you, Christian, choose willfully. God has indeed richly blessed us and provided us with many things, many days of abundant grace and blessings, and I trust will continue to do so. I'm not looking for the axe to fall. How then can I accomplish what is set forth in our text? If God has blessed us and wants us to enjoy these things, how can I at the same time arm myself with a mind to suffer? We're going to talk about that this morning. Am I to step off into a life of abject suffering without enjoying the blessings of God? No. To do that would be poor stewardship and lousy discipleship. Like I said, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. If I just give all of that up and choose to suffer, then what am I doing? I mean, a poor steward of the things that God has blessed me with. Number one, having a mind to suffer is a choice. Having a mind to suffer is a choice. He says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. God is not asking you to deny the things that He gives you. But in order for you to be able to truly enjoy those good things, you must choose to arm yourselves with a mind to suffer. Now this is going to start making sense hopefully in a minute, so stick with me. In Hebrews 11:25, I preached on it last Sunday. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Last week we saw Moses made that choice in his 40s. He chose to suffer. Did he suffer all the time? No. Did he suffer every day? No. Matter of fact, he enjoyed the blessings and the goodness of God. But what happened was is he had a mind to suffer. He chose. He said, whatever God wants to do to me is better than what the world has to offer. Moses was in his 40s when he made that choice. How old are you going to be when you finally make that choice? 40, 50, 60? This suffering is a choice that we make for the sake of being God's servant. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you will live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to have a mind to suffer. It doesn't mean that you will. It doesn't mean that you will every day. But it means that you are ready, that you are prepared, that you are willing to suffer if the case need be. It's like David's three mighty men who could have easily followed their leader and lived on peacefully. But one day they hear David longing to taste water from Bethlehem and they hazard their lives willingly to satisfy him. They didn't have to do that. You know what they did? They had a mind to suffer. They were willing to put their lives on the line to please their leader. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 14, it says, "And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.' And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew out water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord and said, 'Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. It is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?' Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men." These men had a mind to suffer. Why? Because they just liked to suffer? No. Because they had to? No. They could have just lived peacefully and just followed their leader, David. But at the slightest desire, his slightest whim, they said, "You know what? We don't care if the Philistines are there. We don't even care if we die. We're going to try to satisfy our leader's desires." David's a type of Christ here. These three mighty men are types of Christians who have a mind to suffer. Did they suffer? No. God gave them victory. But had they not had a mind to suffer, they would never have risked going to Bethlehem and getting that water. They would have stayed at home where it was comfortable. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not preaching to you a sermon that says, God wants you to suffer. I'm preaching you a sermon that God wants you to arm yourself. This is just as much a part of the whole armor of God as the shield, as the sword, as the helmet. This is the armament, Christian. Arm yourselves with the same mind. Why? Because if you'll do that, you're going to find victory. You're going to find that you as a Christian are unstoppable. I'll get to that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself and spoil the sermon. Amen. The suffering in our text this morning is not necessarily something which is ordained by God, but is something which we choose for the sake of serving the Lord. It's a higher ground. Arm yourselves with the same mind. According to God's providence, we may not have to suffer many pains. Man, we live in America. You know what that is? That's the providence of God. What, my choice that I was born here? I thank God every day that I was. You can say what you want about this country, but brother, until you visit Europe and Western Europe and Eastern Europe, until you visit some of those countries, you come back here, you'll kiss the ground. In spite of the Bilderbergers and the Illuminati and the Masons, amen, you'll thank God for those people. Because you leave this country, brother, you are in the jaws of the Catholic Church. I've never been to Rome, but my father-in-law has, and he said when you go to the airport over there, it's crawling with priests and nuns. You talk about a spook house, you talk about a haunted house, man. I can't imagine it. But according to God's providence, we may not have to suffer many pains. Yet because we desire to serve Him, we gladly choose a path which differs from the common one. The common one is, I'm going to make myself comfortable. I'm not going to go out on the line for anything. I'm going to play it safe. A Christian who is armed with a mind to suffer throws caution to the winds. They have no price. There is nothing that the devil can throw at them to stop them and get them to quit. There's nothing that the Lord can allow in their lives that cause them to stumble and accuse God falsely. No. Why? Because they're ready to suffer. Whether they do or not, that's God's business. But at least they're ready for it. And that's what the sermon this morning is, not to say, okay, go out there and suffer, folks. No. Arm yourselves with the mind to suffer. And if God so chooses that you don't, praise God. And if God so chooses that you do, praise God too. At least you're prepared. What happens to so many Christians that they serve God in the good times, and then when the bad times come, they just panic. Why? Because they never arm themselves with that part of God's armor, their mind. Having a mind to suffer. If we lack this willingness to suffer, if we are unarmed with such a mind, our service will be very superficial, even in the good times. Because we'll always be waiting for, okay, what's the cost? And is this thing going to get pushed further than I want to pay? Even in the good times. You have to have a mind to suffer to be able to serve God in the good times. Not just in the bad, because when it comes bad times, you don't have time to get that thing organized. Arm yourselves with this mind today. And if God so chooses to allow you to live a life of luxury and happiness and blessing till the rapture, praise God! And if something horrible comes along your way, you'll be prepared for it and you won't quit. Jeremiah 12, verse 5 says, "If thou hast run with a footman and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" In other words, hey man, we are in America. We all have clothes on our backs, roofs over our heads, foods in our stomach. We got plans for lunch, plans for dinner, comforts of home, all the excess that we could ever want. If that, in the middle of that, you are worn out with serving God, what's going to happen when that stuff starts to get taken away? Don't think that the bubble of America is going to last forever. One day it's going to pop. It popped back in the 30s just to give you a preview. And people were jumping off skyscrapers. Why? Because they didn't have a mind to suffer. They could not imagine life without luxury. "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize or sailed through bloody seas? Sure I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy Word." That is a mind that has a will or a willingness to suffer for Jesus Christ. Number two, having a mind to suffer is not the same as suffering itself. You may be sitting there and say, "Boy, I've been going through some suffering. He must be talking about me." Nope, not really. Having a mind to suffer is not the same thing as suffering itself. It is only a willingness to endure hardship. It may not have to endure hardship. A mind to suffer may not have to suffer. The Moravians were the first missionary movement during the Reformation in Germany. Count Zinzendorf was the leader of that group, and they had a coat of arms. Those people would sell. These are Europeans, brother, and many of them were nobility. And they got saved, and some of them were sold out to Jesus Christ. They would sell everything they had. They would sell themselves into slavery to be able to witness to slaves. I saw a film on that one time. A German Moravian missionary back in the 1600s sells himself into slavery to be able to witness to poor black slaves who were going to hell. They had a coat of arms, and on that coat of arms there was an ox. And on one side was an altar, and on one side was a plow, a yoke. And the inscription on that thing read, "Ready for either." In other words, if you want to work us, God, we'll let you work us. If you want to sacrifice us, we'll let you sacrifice us. We just want to let you know we're ready, we're prepared for either one. That is a mind to suffer. Did some of those people die lonely and heartbroken and penniless? Yes. But some of them didn't. What was the difference? None. Because they had a mind to suffer. "Whoever has this mind may not in fact suffer at the moment, yet in his mind and heart he has committed himself to do so gladly for the Lord." Many Christians shrink back at the slightest persecution because they're not armed with a mind to suffer. They can serve God well when all material blessings and health and comforts are there to sustain them, but let them encounter a little hardship or problem and they come apart at the seams. How will you possibly stand any test if you don't have a mind to suffer? Job 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die! But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now, which character fits your disposition? I don't think Job's wife was an evil woman. She's probably a good woman, had a good husband, good children. But you know what she got used to? She got used to comforts. And she never allowed herself in the midst of all that comfort to have a mind that was willing to suffer for God. And so all she could ever take from God was goodness. And as long as God kept let the goodness keep flowing, she was full of praise for God. And as soon as that thing stopped, she wanted her husband to curse God and die. And he says, what are you talking about? We've received good at the hand of God. Shall we not also receive evil? Job had conditioned his mind. He had a willingness to take whatever God sent his way. This guy was richer than all of us put together. There wasn't a richer man than Job in all the East, the Bible says. And when God took everything from him in one day, the Bible says he fell on the ground and worshipped and said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job had prepared himself in the midst of all that good time to have a mind to suffer just in case that came down the road. How do you know Job thought like that? Because he offered sacrifices for his children just in case they may have sinned against God and cursed him in their hearts. Job made preparation, brother. And when this thing hit him, he wasn't... he was ready. Am I saying it's going to hit you? I don't know. I hope it doesn't. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you are to survive as a Christian, if you are to do the work in the will of God, you are going to have to arm yourselves with a mind to suffer. It's not the same as suffering itself. Having a mind to suffer speaks of my readiness before God to suffer. I'm willing to go through trial, and if I choose the path of hardship. It is up to the Lord whether or not to put suffering in my path. But on my part, I'm to be always prepared to suffer. And when providence changes and trials come, I won't be shocked and ready to quit, but I'll rejoice. Because I'll figure I had it coming anyway. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." There are some Christians who suffer, and yet they do not see anything precious about it. Some of you in this room, you're going through some suffering. You know what? You cannot wait till it's over. I know, because I'm one of you. Amen? Not me against you, it's us-ins. We're in this boat together, brother. When we go through something terrible or suffering, we cannot wait until... Will the morning never come? Will this never pass? You know why we think that? Because we have not a mind to suffer. And they're not thankful. They're suffering, but they're not thankful. They're busy murmuring and complaining about their sufferings. Why? Because they have no mind to suffer. They haven't prepared themselves. There's no willingness there. You say, well, you got to be a fool to step off and say, "Lord, I'm willing to take whatever you've given to me." No, you're a fool not to. This is going to happen whether you're willing or not. See, a willingness to arm yourself with this mind to suffer is for your protection. Not for God's benefit. It's for your protection. Why? Arm yourselves. What do you do when you do that? You're protecting your family. If you're arming yourselves with this same mind, you are putting up a spiritual barricade that the devil cannot penetrate with his fiery darts. Jeremiah 31:18 says, "I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God." There's a lot of Christians who suffer, and in their suffering, murmur and complain and gripe and say, oh my God, why and how long? And the reason why is because they haven't a mind to suffer. Let me ask a very uncomfortable question to you who suffer. And I know you suffer, and I don't want to make light of that thing, and I don't want you to feel like I'm calloused towards it, and I'm not. And God's not calloused towards it either. But let me ask you this question. Do you choose to arm yourself with a mind to suffer? Or are you busy complaining, annoyed, self-pitying, self-serving when you suffer? People can endure much pain and suffering and yet have no mind to do so. Having a mind to suffer is a much deeper issue than suffering itself. In Revelation 2:9, Jesus says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. You know what the Lord saw there? He saw a bunch of Christians who were poor, and He said, you're really rich. So just because somebody is suffering, and it's obvious that they're suffering, doesn't mean that they have a mind to suffer. And just because someone isn't suffering and God has blessed them and it seems like, man, they're just born with a silver spoon in their mouth, that doesn't mean they don't have a mind to suffer. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There are Christians that you know and I know that are suffering horrible things. And my prayer for them is, God, give them a mind to suffer. Because without that mind, their suffering does not benefit them spiritually. It's, matter of fact, in vain. You say, how can you say that, Brother Adam? I didn't say it. The Scripture says it. Philippians 3:8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That's a person who has a mind to suffer. What the Lord values most in His children is not the suffering itself, but their having a heart to suffer. David was surrounded with those mighty men constantly doing great deeds. You know what impressed him, though? Was that those men were willing to risk their lives to get him a drink. The fact that you are suffering itself doesn't please God. What pleases God is that you arm yourself with a mind to suffer, a willingness to suffer. We can't assume just because someone goes through a lot of suffering that they have a mind to suffer. They may have a heart full of rebellion in which suffering only serves to harden them further. How awful to suffer with no spiritual benefit. Galatians 3 verse 3 says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? Paul's asking these Christians, have you suffered so many things in vain? That shows me that can be done. He said, well, I want my suffering to count at the judgment seat of Christ. I want my suffering to be rewarded with a reign with Christ. Okay, if you do, arm yourselves with a mind to suffer. So when suffering comes, you won't be tempted to quit. You won't be tempted to throw in the towel. You won't be tempted to gripe and complain about your sorry lot in life. You'll praise God like Job did, and like Paul did, and like Peter did, and you'll rejoice at the opportunity to suffer. Number three, having a mind to suffer completes the whole armor of God. Do you realize that this is a weapon that unquestionably has Satan bound in his attempts to try to devour you? I mean, he's counting on you being slothful and unwilling to suffer. That's what he told the Lord. He said, hey, the Lord says, did you see my servant Job? You took away everything he had, killed his kids, everything. He still has retained his integrity. You know what the Lord, the devil said to the Lord? Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. You know what he's counting on? He's counting on pain causing Job to quit. He's counting on personal suffering to crack Job. That's what he's counting on you. The devil's not afraid of any Christian who shakes his spear and says, hey, yeah, let's go do the work of God when times are good. He's afraid of a Christian who has armed himself with a willingness to suffer even death itself for the cause of Jesus Christ. Because you can't do anything to that person. Proverbs 22:13 says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." The guy's got to go to work. He looks out the curtain and he goes, "There's a lion outside. I ain't going to work." His wife's like, "Where's the lion?" "It's out there." "Yeah, right. Don't go out there. There's a lion." "I'm going to go do the gardening. I'll see you later." You know what his problem is? He's looking for any excuse to quit. The slothful man saith, "There's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." You know what a slothful Christian says? "There's a lion out there walking about seeking whom he may devour. I can't go to work for God. The devil will start taking notice of me." Yes, he will. If you don't have a mind to suffer. If you haven't prepared yourself to take anything for Christ's sake. The devil's got a card he can play on you. Because he can read your mind. He knows what you're afraid of. And if you'll serve God up to this point but no further, the devil will make sure that you get an opportunity to visit that point and beyond many, many times. Why? Because you have basically handed over a weapon to him. Take that weapon back and arm yourselves with the same mind and say, "Lord, whatever comes, hell or high water, by the grace of God, I'm going to serve Christ and I am not going to quit. I'm going to be faithful till death. By the grace of God." And you know what the devil will say? "Let's go find somebody else that's worth it. This guy is not, I don't want to tangle with him." I'm telling you a dying truth, whether you believe that or not. Acts 20, verse 24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul says, none of these things move me. When the devil realized that, he says, you know what? We are up against an immovable force. How do you defeat someone like that? This is a secret weapon, Christian. Special issue. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. It is impenetrable. It is undefeatable. There's no answer to that. How do you tempt somebody who's ready to die for Christ? How do you scare somebody who's ready to lay down their life for Christ? How do you spook someone who's ready to suffer, willing to suffer? You can't. If you have a mind to suffer, then you'll work for God in spite of deprivation, difficulty, pain, sickness, or even approaching death. You may not have to go through those things. But you know what you have to do? You have to have a mind to suffer if you're going to do anything for God. Revelation 2:10 says, the Lord Jesus says to the church, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." There's a lot in that phrase right there. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." You know what he's telling them? He's telling them to arm themselves. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." You know what the cost is? It's your life. Be faithful unto death. If you allow fear to dictate when you serve God, Satan will have something to capitalize on. It is this inward determination which anchors us in the Lord's work. It is the ever-present willingness to suffer and die for Christ that will give you the courage to go out and knock on doors. That will give you the courage to preach on the street. That will give you courage to witness. That will give you courage to withstand temptation. Why? Because you've got the big one whipped. Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." How did he do this? "I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." He didn't say, "Sometimes I abound, sometimes I suffer need." He said, "Both at the same time. I am instructed how to be full and how to be hungry at the same time." how to enjoy the blessings of God and His provision, and how to have a mind to suffer at the same time. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Christians do not seek to suffer. We're not a bunch of, what do they call that? Masochists? Yeah, we're not a bunch of sickos that enjoy hurting. We don't look for trouble, amen? If you're serving God, you don't have to look for trouble. It will find you. All they who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Christians do not seek to suffer. They must simply have a mind to suffer. They are prepared to press on in the face of whatever difficulties come their way. But if this should remain an unsettled issue in your life, then nothing is settled. You'll quit when your limit is reached. Mark 4:17 says, they have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. At all costs, we must arm ourselves with a mind to suffer, for the greater issue of God's work will cease if we don't. Those martyrs that sang in the flames as they were being roasted to death in the first century, those people had a mind to suffer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when faced with the fiery furnace, said, Nebuchadnezzar, God is able to save us from this furnace and deliver us from this thing, but if not, be it known unto the king that we will not bow to the image that thou hast made. What is it? That is, leaving it in God's hands. Whatever you want to do, Lord, if you want to deliver us, if you want to burn us, we have a mind to suffer. We're prepared. We're willing to do it. What is it that would cause you to quit? Think about it. Satan knows what it is. You might have to think about it longer than he does. You know why? Because he's concentrated on you. He's got you, his guns are aimed at you, and he's ready to watch you fall. A mind to suffer has no weak point at which you draw the line and quit. A mind to suffer says, it's all His. He can take my life, He can take my wife, my husband, my children, my riches, my house, my food, my clothing. He's got it all. Arm yourselves with this mind. Because if you don't, He's going to find the button somewhere and press it. And you're going to fail. Number four, and last of all, having a mind to suffer has no limitation in the price it is willing to pay. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Esther 4:16, she says, go and gather all together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther had a mind that was willing to suffer. She armed herself. Hey, if I perish, I perish. That's God's business. I'm going to prepare myself beforehand to do whatever it takes to do right. Acts 21:13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Suffering is a limited matter. A mind to suffer is unlimited. Suffering may not be a daily necessity. A mind to suffer is. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame Him, talking about they overcame the beast. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You'll overcome Satan the same way. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and that you love not your life to the death. Satan has no way to deal with those that make that commitment. Job 2:4-5 says, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth now thine hand now and touch his bone in his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. That was the last card up his sleeve. Did you realize that after the Lord said, all right, you can do that, but save his life? That there was no more conversation between the devil and the Lord in the book of Job. There was no next step. Okay, now do this and he'll curse you. That was the last draw. That was the final step. That was the last card up his sleeve, was to take his life. But Job was ready for that. Job was ready to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And because of that, the devil was powerless. The rest of the book of Job deals with God dealing with Job. The devil is left. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The first step in that is submitting to God. When you do that, then you're able to resist the devil. And when you do that, he's got no choice but to flee. Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Romans 14:8, for whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Arm yourself. Think about the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and having your loins girt about with the truth and your feet shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace, and praying always, got all that armor on. It's not going to help you out if you don't have your mind armed with a willingness to suffer. 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. 2 Corinthians 1:5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Romans 8:17-18, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's rewards for this thing, man. It's not in vain. He says, if any man suffers as a Christian, I don't care what it is that you go through, whether it's small or large, if you arm yourselves likewise with the same mind as Christ did to suffer willingly, one day you're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Have rule over much. You're faithful over little, have rule over many. What is it going to be like to be in the millennium and for 1,000 years reign over cities in the name of Jesus Christ? I don't have any desire to be a politician, be a mayor or governor or president. You know, I never have had that. But boy, I want it then. That is an enviable position. Because there is no more bickering with special interests or this one and that one wants your attention. There's only one person you have to please. And it's the person you want to please anyway. It's going to be a great time, brother. You'll miss out on it if you don't have a mind to suffer for Christ now. So, Brother Adam, what happens if I don't suffer? If you have that, if you arm yourselves with that mind, as far as God's concerned, it's just as if they had burned you at the stake. None of us will probably ever have the chance to die for Christ. Maybe we will, but you know what? The odds are that we'll probably die of old age. We'll kill ourselves with forks first. Here's your chance to join in with what the martyrs had. What? Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That is a secret to Christianity. Don't let anybody tell you different. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the message. I pray, dear God, that You would use it. Speak to us by it. Help us, Lord, not to run off and forsake Your words, but help us, Lord, to retain them in our hearts and in our minds. Help us, Lord, to pray over these things and meditate upon them. And I pray that there would come a time in the near future, Lord, immediately, if not sooner, that these Christians would arm themselves with that mind. That they would count the cost and they would say, you know what, nothing is more important than the Lord Jesus Christ and His satisfaction. And nothing in my life will I count dear to myself. If God wants to take it, if God wants to allow the devil to take everything I have and my own life also, I don't hold it dear to myself because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To depart and be with Christ is far better. And we have a reward to look forward to. We know that our suffering isn't vain.
And I pray, dear God, you'd help us, Lord, to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for your patience. I hope you got a blessing. The Lord bless you. Have a good day.